Okay, I would like to thank Alain, Edith, and Nicole Le Doirin for this invitation. I think it's a great honor to be there. I would like to start with a very personal comment because, in fact, I decided to become a molecular biologist in 65 after the Nobel Prize of Jacob Wolf and Monod. I was 12 years old. It was an early decision. But the reason I want to say that is that it may give an idea to young people what was extremely positive, considerable feedback that such discoveries had outside of the scientific community, and also the impact they had on public opinion. And I don't know whether this there would be something equivalent today. So I changed the title of my talk to something that would have a little bit more molecular tone, which is memory and repertoire. In French, it would be mémoire and repertoire. It would be nicer. So the two arms of B-cell diversification. And to summarize the characteristic of the adaptive immune system, it has three major characteristics: to be extremely specific and diverse. And we know that we have almost an infinity of receptors that are able to cope with an infinity of possible antigen. It has memory, so it keeps the record of past antigenic encounters. And it also has the capacity to improve and to enhance its response to antigens that it previously encountered. And this, for B cell, correspond to something very specific in terms of genetic remodeling. So if we can briefly describe an immune response by the encounter of a naive B cell with an antigen, and this, I don't know whether this can have a pointer. Yes, okay. And this encounter with, at the end, generate two types of memory, long-lived memory B cells and long-lived plasma cells that will secrete antibody for both will stay for the life of an individual, lifelong persistence. But in between, you have a specific differentiation event, which is called a germinal center reaction. And it represents an intense proliferation in which genomic alteration will take place. And that's the reason why the germinal center reaction has been described as a microcosm for Darwinian genome evolution. So in this microcosm, you have two somatic events taking place. First, somatic hypermutation, which is a localized mutagenesis that touches the V gene of the immunoglobulin, which is a site-restricted mutagenesis, and it's a million times higher mutation rate than the rest of the genome. So it's really accelerated evolution. And the second event is what we call isotype switch, so it's recombination, and it allows the cells to go from an IgM molecule, which is considered to have loose binding capacity and mainly to take care of dead cells and has scavenger function, to an IgG that will really have efficiency against pathogens. And for more than 30 years, people have searched what is have looked for the activity that was responsible for these two events. And it was identified in 2000 by the group of Tasuku Onjo and also by the group of Alain Fischer, characterizing a human genetic deficiency. And the enzyme is called AID, for activation-induced cytidine deaminase. And so this extraordinary event is simply mediated by cytidine deamination, which is a very frequent lesion in DNA. So why is this deamination of cytidine mutagenic at the IG locus? We still don't know, but we can say how it proceeds. And in fact, it proceeds by a total abnormal processing of this lesion that is either replicated without further repair, and this will be mutagenic, or it's taken care of by mutagenic pathway, by mutagenic polymerase that will spread the mutation at distance from the initial site. And this is rather striking because this mobilized polymerase that are the same families as the ones that are used in the bacterial SOS response. So in fact, B cell, when they try to fight pathogen, are mobilizing the same mutagenic activity that bacteria do when they want to escape replication stress. And for this mutation to be efficient, it is coupled to selection processes, and this selection is taking place using two different cell types that exist within the germinal center, the follicular dendritic cells that is able to bind antigen-antibody complex and so can select B cells that will have higher affinity for the antigen. And these cells that have higher affinity will obtain survival signal from a specific set of T helper cells. And this is a beautiful image of a germinal center where in blue are the highly proliferating B cells and in red is the network of follicular dendritic cells. And so the whole germinal center reaction is an iterative process where B cells mutate and proliferate within something that is called the dark zone. I'm sorry to say. This is called the dark zone because there is an intense B cell concentration. This is called the light zone. And so you have this iterative process of proliferation and mutation in the dark zone and selection by antigen on follicular dendritic cells and T helper cells in the light zone. And if we go back to this scheme, the whole process of the germinal center reaction is to change a B cell that has low affinity for the antigen into a B cell that will have affinity. And it's almost a thousandfold in affinity that is produced during this germinal center reaction, usually over successive rounds that are studied in the mouse most of the time by immunization taking place within a few weeks. But in fact, very few studies have interrogated this system, not in terms of weeks after initial challenge, but in terms of months, what memory B cells do in a recall response. Is this iterative process going on all the time? Does the nature of the antigen impact the response and whether there is only one type of memory B cell that is generated? And to ask this question, we develop a classical fate mapping mouse model constituting of a inducible Cre recombinase that is inserted at the AID locus, the very enzyme that is activated during an immune response. And this inducible recombinase can be induced by tamoxifen, and then it will activate a reporter locus, and synchronizing tamoxifen injection with immunization will allow the irreversible labeling of the cell engaged in this response. And I will briefly summarize the way we use this system to look at long-term memory, because again, long-term memory is a difficult question to ask in the mouse because it concerns very few cells, and you really need this highly sensitive reporter system to ask 6 months after an immunization what is going on in the animal. And what you can see on this image, that these green dots are all the cells that have been generated in the immune response, and we could make several observations with this system, and I will focus mainly on one, using FACS analysis of these labeled cells, is that not only are IgG memory subset generated that everybody knows in immunology, but it was really the first demonstration that you could also generate IgM memory subset in an immune response. And by transferring the different subset into new animals and making a further antigen challenge, we could really establish a clear division of tasks between them, showing that, in fact, the IgG memory are really an effector memory subset with immediate effector functions that result in plasma cell differentiation and secretion of protective antibody, while the IgM subset will be the one that is capable to reinitiate a germinal center reaction and to go for further round of diversification and affinity maturation. But in fact, the mobilization of this IgM memory compartment is more complex and is not systematic, and it will depend on several parameters in the study we've performed, and it seems even more complex. So it needs at least that you have low serum antibody concentration, which makes sense, is that you have a feedback. There is no need to go for a new immune reaction if you have enough antibody in your serum. And this negative feedback can be counteracted by the presence of a persistent germinal center reaction, something that would persist over time and much after the initial timing of the immune reaction. And so it can be inhibited by treatment disrupting the follicular dendritic cell network. Which led us to conclude that affinity maturation is not an obligatory outcome of multiple immunization. And we and other groups from all these studies who have slightly modified the way we see the recall response is that, again, the first move of memory B cell in an immune response is plasma cell differentiation. And to go for further round of diversification, it will depend on many parameters, and we are still searching for global rules to understand them. It may seem strange, because in fact, this successive immunization is the basis of vaccination, and it tells you how little we know about these processes. And so this recruitment of new germinal center reaction will depend, for example, on the strength of the stimulation, the level of circulating antibodies, the persistence of a germinal center reaction, and of course the presence of new epitopes. And why is it important to understand this process? The example I will give you is from the HIV field, because for decades, people have tried to make vaccine against HIV by mobilizing cytotoxic T-cell response or dendritic cells. But since a few years, people have characterized in the blood of people that show long-term non-progression to HIV antibodies that were called broadly neutralizing, which means that they were capable of neutralizing all HIV strains. And this, the sites that are recognized, this is the GP120 at the surface of the virus with the GP41 that is anchoring it. And this antibody reveal places on the molecules that cannot escape without impacting the viral fitness. And this looks extremely promising, because if people can generate antibody against these sites, and a vaccination could generate that also. But the surprise came by the fact that these antibody have a huge amount of somatic mutation. So an immunoglobulin V gene is 100 amino acids and 300 nucleotides. So you realize that one of the most powerful neutralizing antibody has undergone 100 and 36 mutation. So we really need to understand how this affinity maturation can be triggered. And there is, of course, extensive work and extensive discussion how a vaccination protocol could elicit such antibodies. And I will switch now to the two other stories that I would like to tell you that was the other part of my title, is that somatic mutation is well known for affinity maturation and improvement of the immune response. But in fact, it can take place at many other stages of the differentiation of the B cell. And we all know that the diversity in the immune system is generated by combinatorial assortment of gene, a process that is called IG gene rearrangement, mediated by the RAG gene, with most of the diversity generated at the site of the junction. But in fact, in the late 80s and 90s, we were involved in studying many animal species in which the germline repertoire, we realized that in fact it provides limited combinatorial assortment. And so to generate diversity, you have to add other diversification mechanisms. And in this species, this diversification is taking place in gut-associated lymphoid tissue. And I will take the example, Alain mentioned the chicken bursa, but I will take the example of the sheep ileal pious patches, which is a huge lymphoid tissue. It's 2.5 meter long, continuous lymphoid tissue with trillions of B cells that are produced every day, with a massive B cell output to generating the peripheral B cell repertoire and involution at adulthood. Everything you would think is consider it as a valid primary organ. And this is a very old image from the PhD thesis of a pioneer in the field, which is John Reynolds. But what we were able to show is that it is somatic hypermutation that generates the sheep preimmune repertoire in this tissue. And this diversity, it's really a preimmune repertoire because this diversification starts before birth, and that you can observe this diversification either in symectomized animal, germ-free animal, or in segment of the intestine that have been isolated from the gut flora, what is called ileal loop. But what was very striking, because again, this is a work that is in the 80s, is that the pattern looked exactly similar to what you observed in an immune response, which question, how can it be? And the reason is, in fact, very simple. It's evolution. Is that the hydrophilic amino acids that compose the antigen binding site, that is three regions in the molecule, correspond to mutation hotspot, and we know these days that they are AID and mutation hotspot. And there is a very striking codon bias that allows this targeting to antigen binding region. And we report that for the sheep repertoire, but Milstein and Neuberger reported that also in the mouse. So it's a very general phenomenon. And so all the, many species, sheep, cattle, pigs, chicken and rabbit use gene convergence or something slightly different, diversifies their repertoire through a phase of intense B cell proliferation in gut associated lymphoid tissue. And what was really surprising is that using a mechanism that was considered to be a random mutation mechanism, you can very efficiently generate a repertoire simply because you counter-select for deleterious mutation by requiring to have an IgM at the surface of the B cell so it can go on proliferating. And by having co-evolution of the V gene sequence and of the mechanism that allows an efficient clustering of mutation hotspots in CDR. And so a precise targeting, telling you that somatic hypermutation is not really a random mutation mechanism, even at the IG locus. And the very last part is that having found that you can use somatic hypermutation outside of the immune response, the question is whether we could find, either in mice or humans, other case of B cell activation or B cell differentiation in which you would set up these molecular processes. And we focused on T independent response in humans. T independent response are response against structures that cannot mobilize T cell because most T cell can only recognize protein. And so it's polysaccharide, glycolipids, or all kind of antigens that have a repetitive structure and can cross-link the receptor of the B cell and stimulate it without other type of help. And in this type of response, you have no germinal center reaction and no memory that is generated. And we know that T-independent response mobilize cells that are called marginal zone B cells that are at the periphery of the B cell follicle and are ideally located to encounter antigens that come from the blood flow. And in human, marginal zone B cell carry mutated IgE receptors. So where do these mutations come from? And we did two, I will summarize briefly, two set of experiments. And this was done in collaboration with Alain Fischer, analyzing patients that show specific immunodeficiency for the TB collaboration. And in these patients, there are no germinal center, no memory B cells that are generated. And to make things simple, on this FACS plot, you have here the memory B cell, here the marginal zone B cell. And you can see that in these patients that cannot do TB collaboration, so can do T independent response, you find only this marginal zone population. And this marginal zone population, it was the most important point, has mutated immunoglobulin genes, indicating that they are generated by a germinal center independent diversification pathway. And the second piece of evidence was by analysis of T independent response in young children. Because young children before 2 to 3 years of age are incapable of T independent response, in maturation probably of the splenic environment, whereas classical T dependent response are functional. Children are heavily vaccinated at very young age. And by looking at the size heterogeneity of the V junction, at VDJ junction, using an electrophoretic analysis that was developed by Philip Gorilski, in fact, called spectrotyping, which is a measure of clonal expansion, and clonal expansion reflect immune response. When we analyze blood of young children, spleen also of young children that underwent surgery for non-immunological cause. And we can see that whereas the many vaccinations that are, children encounter at young age generate very strong clonal expansion, you don't have clonal expansion in the marginal zone subset. Whereas, again, somatic mutation is accumulating. So the second, the same conclusion was reached is that this subset is able to diversify its immunoglobulin genes, again, outside immune responses and along a differentiation program. And how is this diversification taking place? So far, we don't know. Many groups working on that and several propositions. So it could be a local, slowly progressing event using innate signals with specific types of innate lymphoid cells of neutrophil. I don't want to go into that. But there are also other propositions on which we are actively working is that, in fact, they could be diversified also in the gut and join the marginal zone after some time of bystander activation, diversification, and selection for bacterial motif recognition. And this was the proposition of the group of Joe Spencer. And so to summarize these three descriptions, and my arrow, my triangle moved. One can see that this process of diversification, and one has to realize that it's really irreversible genetic modification. So as opposed to what John Gurdon was reported, like these B cells are really heavily modifying their genome. This genome alteration can take place in various antigen selection contexts, almost totally independent of antigen selection and leading to repertoire formation. And this is efficiently performed because the genes have co-evolved with the mechanism and allow targeting of mutation to the antigen binding sites. Some kind of bystander pre-diversification that would be the case of marginal zone B cell in humans. And I think there are more and more descriptions that will come from the mouse and human of this type of diversification process, which consists in mutation and a loose selection for recurrent antigenic motif. And it's a way to have cells that will rapidly respond to a set of recurrent, motif, almost like innate lymphoid cells. And finally, the immune response, where you really have what is called Darwinian selection for high affinity mutant and ongoing diversification in the case of evolving pathogen, and this is the case of the HIV response that I was showing to you. And the last comment I would like to say is that, in fact, the B cell lineage is probably in the immune system the one that has the closest similarity to the bacterial world. It has a constant emergence of mutants in order to cope with a changing environment, and this mutant will be allowed in some cases to undergo massive clonal expansion and selection. And I will mention mainly this work of some part has been going on, like IgG hypermutation, for many years, and I will only mention people that are still involved, like Sébastien Storck today, Simon Le Gallou and Yi Ao for mouse memory B cell subset, and Sandra Veller for human marginal zone B cell. And I mentioned Alain Fischer, Capucine Picard, and Jean-Laurent Casanova in Necker, and Alessandro Plebani for the immunodeficiency patient.